Thank you, councillors and officers. Welcome to the council meeting of the 12th of July 2022. I'm going to start with the traditional welcome, so I ask that people be upstanding. We, the councillors of Hobsons Bay, recognise that we are privileged to serve a community enriched by diversity. We respect and value our community's backgrounds, customs and beliefs, and we declare that we will always act impartially to the best of our skill and judgment. Through our deliberations and our conduct, we will uphold the council values to deliver outcomes that enhance the city of Hobsons Bay. Please remain standing. I'd like to acknowledge that we're gathered on the traditional land of the Bunurong people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise the First Peoples' relationship to this land and offer our respect to the elders past, present and emerging. And just on that note, I'd also acknowledge that last week was NAIDOC week, and we had a flag-raising ceremony here, and it was very poignant to have the Yarrabah city of cultural dances, our sister city. So just like to acknowledge that. Please be seated. We do not have anyone in the gallery apart from council officers. So we'll move straight on to apologies, and we're all here, so there are no apologies. Disclosure of interests. Are there any disclosures of interest?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to declare two interests in relation to agenda item 8.1.1, Chief Executive's Officer's report. First, the report refers to the Sons of the West program. Through my work as Executive Director with the Men's Project at Jesuit Social Services, we've been contracted by the Sons of the West to deliver a number of workshops. And then second, the CEO's report also refers to a presentation from Jesuit Social Services on mobilising climate just and resilient communities in Melbourne's West. I don't see either of these interests as material and nor a conflict, and don't intend to leave the meeting when this item is discussed.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Are there any other disclosures? There being none, we now move on to confirmation of minutes, and that's 4.1, confirmation of minutes relating to the council meeting held on the 28th of June 2022. Are there any issues in relation to that? Then I seek a mover. Move Councillor Sutton and go. Seconded Councillor Tyler. Put that to the vote. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. Now we move on to councillor questions, and I will start on my far right, Councillor Callender.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I do have a couple of questions. First question through you. Can Council please provide an update on the opening of at Paringa Road in Altona North? When will we have an opportunity to see a draft design?
Thank you, Councillor Callender. Through you, Mayor. The joint venture is currently finalising the designs for the Paringa Road, and it will be finalised over the next few weeks. What they are planning to do is to advertise that in early August for the community feedback.
Thank you. Second question through you also, Mr. Mayor. How far along is Council in the process of converting outdoor dining spaces to permanent, and how many traders have received approval to date to have their outdoor trading spaces converted to permanent?
Through you, Mayor. Councillor, this work's shared across a couple of directorates, but I'll respond on behalf of all. So officers have engaged with all businesses that currently have outdoor trading spaces since the endorsement of the policy. The focus has been particularly on the parklets, which are the ones that need that resolution. So far, two new sites have been fully designed for permanent conversion, and that should be done by the end of August. There's ongoing engagement with another 20 parklet sites to explore potential conversions, which is subject to the sort of detailed feedback that happens around those conversions. And we're also working with businesses identified as potential seasonal parklets to work out what their intentions are.
Thanks for that, Ms. Winslade. And third question again through you, Mr. Mayor. Can Council please advise what it is doing to improve customer service?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. At the moment, we've had a great response to the Council Plus program that we put in place. During that time, we've had 1,400 transactions since then. At the moment, we're using data to monitor how many people are visiting the site, what sort of services they need, and we're also looking at our call wait times, and we're reviewing them, and we get a weekly report. With that weekly report, we've been able to make some changes, and we've taken the call wait time down from 8 minutes to 5 minutes in this last week. We've got 25 new starters, so we've got a lot of new people that we're training and bringing up to speed in the council. And we're also looking at sophisticating our processes over time and developing an exceptional service, which is a one-stop shop longer term.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. No further questions.
Thank you. Councillor Callender, Councillor Greimer?
No questions. No.
Councillor Briffard?
Council officers have already answered all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Briffard. Councillor Marsden?
No questions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Sutton-Lagoe?
No questions.
Councillor Tyler?
Yes, two questions, Mr. Mayor. First through you. We've seen an increasing problem with hoons ripping up grass on ovals and parks. HD Graham Reserve, Homestead Run and Bruce Condon over the last few weeks, just to name a few. I'm aware that this has occurred elsewhere as well. As a preface to this question, I'd like to make it clear that stopping this stupid behaviour ultimately rests with the people engaging in it. And so with that said, noting that the response sits with Vic Police and councillors working collaboratively with VicPol, what is council doing to prevent this behaviour, and is there anything else being considered beyond what is already being done?
For you, Mr. Mayor. You're correct, councillor, that we don't have a lot of control over hooning, but council does have a membership and a place at the table with the committee that's been put together by Vic Police, Tim O'Connor, and that looks at public safety, and those pictures have been provided to police, and police are considering what they can do. On another note, the state government have formed a group called the Victorian Hooning Reference Group. We actually have an officer on that group as well, and their objective is to understand the intentional high-risk driving or hooning, and that group actually includes Vic Police, Department of Transport, Council and members of the community. And they're meeting to look at what can be done, and they're also seeking feedback from members of the public. So if you click onto Hobson's Bay Facebook, there's a link there for a meeting that's going to be held at Brimbank Council. It'll be held face-to-face on the 20th of July, but it's also an opportunity you can register and do it online if you can't attend. And they're looking holistically at the issues, and there's a number of councils involved. I think there's 9 or 10. And you're very welcome. I've got pamphlets for anybody who might want one, and we'll be able to work with them to get a result longer term.
Thank you, Ms. Hawkins. Second question through you again, Mayor. With regards to the aviation road level crossing removal, with works coming to an end, could council officers please provide an update on which agency is responsible for maintaining the different assets, and who should the community contact in the event there are maintenance requests, such as graffiti removal?
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Through you, Mayor. Most of the assets on the railway corridor is managed by the MTM, which is Metro Train. They manage all the assets. Council's only responsible for anything on the road reserve. The overpass and the bridge, it's all managed by the MTM. So any maintenance issues needs to be referred to the MTM.
Thanks so much. No further questions, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. We now go to public question time. And these are questions that come in from the public. They must be received by 12 noon yesterday. And we have a number of questions that have been submitted. So I will move through those. The first one comes from Lachlan Grant. And it is, why is the electric vehicle charger at the Hobsons Bay Civic Centre still out of order after 4 months? The answer is, Council is currently waiting on a part from the supplier. It is anticipated that the maintenance works for the EV charger will be completed by the 15th of July, which is the end of this week. The second question comes from Molly Galea, and it is, why has Mervac been allowed to block off the bike path connection from Precinct 15 to a lower street as per original approvals, and what will Council do to return the bike path to its original plan? Precinct 15 is in the Altona North area. The answer is the bike route is still provided for. It is one of three future bike routes which connect Precinct 15 to the areas to the east. Mervac do not own the land on the lot fronting New Street, opposite a lower street, so there's no possibility for that link to go through there at present. The Mervac master plan still provides for an off-road shared path which connects out to New Street about 75 metres north of Aloha Street. This outcome is generally in accordance with the comprehensive development plan, and the intent of the CDP is maintained by relocating the connection slightly further north. The next three questions come from Rowena Joski. The first one is, what is meant by the following statement in the Council's open space strategy regarding Precinct 15 in Altona North? And that is a direct quote. It should be recognised that any new open space within the precinct is provided for a new community and not to meet existing demands, end quote. The answer is, the public open space within Precinct 15 is primarily to cater for the new community within the development, which is estimated to be about 9,000 people. Although other residents and visitors will use the parks developed within the precinct, the provision of these new parks is not to offset the existing requirements for community open space for existing residents in the Altona North area. The second question is, I might read it out in full. When developing the Precinct 15 planning amendment, the Victorian Planning Authority expert reports told us that any additional demand for football and soccer would be best met by upgrading the multiple sports grounds in the area surrounding Precinct 15, including Edwards Reserve, Langshaw's Reserve and Maribyrnong Council's McIver Reserve. The question is, are there plans to carry out these suggested upgrades to cater for a growing population in the area? First of all, we have no control over McIver Reserve. The space inside Precinct 15, Council's indoor sports facility needs analysis of 2018 identified active open space areas within Precinct 15 for use as soccer and cricket sports field to cater for long-term project demands in sports. I should also point out that we've already done some works in Edwards Reserve. I'm not clear on Langshaw's Reserve. The third question from Rowena Joski is, why was a project to work with local residents in the area, in the Precinct 15 area, to design the future large central park space excluded from the Brooklyn and Altona North Better Places project ideas list? The answer is, the Better Places Brooklyn and Altona North is currently at Stage 3 community consultation of draft place guide projects. The projects put forward are based on information provided by the whole community and represent what would have been identified as key priorities. The community is encouraged to make project idea submissions before consultation closes on Wednesday, the 27th of July. We have two questions from Geraldine Kavanagh. The first one is, regarding council services being located in Hobsons Bay libraries, will current experienced council staff be located in libraries or will new staff be employed and trained? The answer is the number of library customer service officers and our frontline library service team has been increased and additional training provided to enable council's employees to support the community with a broader range of inquiries. The second question from Ms. Kavanagh is, will council staff be allocated a separate area to reply to queries? The answer is there is no intention to create a separate service area for Council Plus inquiries, as Council feels that an integrated service offering supports delivery of the best community experience. Hobsons Bay libraries offer a range of different types of spaces to suit the needs of different community members, including lounge areas and quiet working spaces. That's all the questions in public question time. So we now move back on to item 7 of the agenda, that being petitions and joint letters. 7.1, petitions and joint letters received. Are there any letters, joint letters or petitions that councillors have received? No, then we shall move on to item 7.2, which is responses to previous petitions and joint letters. And the first one is 7.2.1, response to petition relating to the Brooklyn Reserve Dog Park. Are there any questions in relation to this, councillors? No? Then I'm seeking a mover. Move, Councillor Callender. Seconded, Councillor Briffa. Councillor Callender.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The outcome of this petition, in part, is a quick win, because now we'll get to see the installation of additional seating and a drink fountain at the Brooklyn Reserve. And the discussion notes that this will take about 8 weeks to order and install. So I think, you know, positive has come from this petition. Further investigation for lighting and shelter will also occur through the Better Places Brooklyn and Altona North program. And it's been noted also in the discussion that the Brooklyn Hall itself is currently under construction, so further investigation will be conducted to improve public access, safety and use for the entire Brooklyn Reserve. I think it's a positive outcome. So thanks for that, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Callender. Councillor Briffa.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, there's nothing really much to add. I'm just grateful for the petitioners and grateful that they've raised this with us. I'm very pleased that we're able to respond so favourably, and look forward to the outcome of the Better Places Brooklyn and Altona North program. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? Councillor Callender, do you wish to close debate? I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, it is carried unanimously. The next one is item 7.2.2, response to the petition relating to the traffic impacts of the Precinct 15 development. Are there any questions in relation to this? There being none, I seek a mover. Move, Councillor Callender. Seconded, Councillor Briffa. Councillor Callender.
Thanks again, Mr. Mayor. Just want to say that I completely understand the lead petitioner's concerns around the traffic impacts of Precinct 15, adding 3,000 homes and what I thought was an estimated 7,000, but the response to some of the public questions noted that it was potentially 9,000 new residents, so I'm personally a little bit concerned. I think a number of other councillors would share those same concerns as well. The discussion pack is detailed and it notes that there's a wide range of actions identified in studies that focus on improvement of east-west connections and bus services in and around Precinct 15. I've personally requested a briefing session from the executive team on the topic and look forward to learning a little bit more about this soon.
Thank you, Councillor Callender. Councillor Briffa.
Sorry, my voice is struggling. very pleased to be able to second this. I'm I've always shared concerns and expressed concerns about this from the outset, given the amount of development in this place and its impact onto the local area, the local roads, local infrastructure, lack of public transport, etc. So I'm very pleased that we received this petition, grateful for the petitioners, and look forward to continued work to address the issues in that area. I do note that things have slightly improved in recent weeks, but it's going to we're in it for the long haul. Like, this is going to be a lot of work over quite a period of time. But I'd like to see us maintain the roads and the infrastructure and the amenity for residents while the construction is going on. Sorry, my voice. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Briffa. And I note the first residents just moved in a week ago. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? Okay, Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Of course, people are concerned about the prospect of getting out of Precinct 15, and to that extent, we have to pay close attention to the way the connections through to the major north-south thoroughfares are constructed, in particular Clematis, Marigold and Cyclamen Avenues, which are quite skinny, and lead on to Millers Road, so that will require a lot of careful thinking. I think the key to this is advanced planning. We've always asked as a council for a bus review for the seat of Williamstown and places elsewhere in the western suburbs. I know that people are actively thinking about this. John Stone from RMIT has mapped out a potential high-speed bus grid for the western suburbs, and he presented at the MTF meeting last week. But whatever happens, we need to make best use of Blackshaws Road as an east-west connector, make sure that people can get safely, quickly, using a fast, direct and frequent bus connection to the stations to the east and, of course, to the shopping centre spine to the west, the major activity centre that runs along Millers Road. We can't lose sight of this, and we should take every opportunity when speaking to the State Government and the Department of Transport to re-emphasise the urgent need for a bus review. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Marsden. If there are no other speakers, then Councillor Callender, you wish to close debate?
Happy to put it to a vote, Mr. Mayor.
I shall put that to the vote. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. We now move on to item 8, which is business, and the first directorate is the Office of Chief Executive, 8.1, and the first item is 8.1.1, the Chief Executive Officer's Report on Operations. Are there any questions, councillors? There being none, I seek a mover. Seconded Councillor Greamer. Councillor Sutton Lego.
Thank you. So the CEO report gives an update on the key initiatives, projects and performance of the city. And there's always, as always, there's a huge range of activities and actions that are taking place all around the municipality. I attended quite a few different events over the past few weeks, including the Hobsons Bay Community Fund Business Lunch, the Williamstown Literary Festival and the Celtic Highlands festivals, all mostly supported by council and supported by the Make It Happen grants. And it was really fantastic to be out in the community again and just seeing different groups doing their thing. And I felt like I'd had a real cultural weekend with all of that. It was wonderful. It's also really great to see some actions happening around the restoration work of the tide gauge house on the Commonwealth Reserve, and to see that we've put in a submission to Melbourne Airport about the Melbourne Third Runway. And whilst, you know, there are certainly some residents who are concerned about the impact of the Third Runway, it will be interesting to see the response, and I think we're still waiting for that. Some good actions around World Environment Day. And for those who have been worried about the removal of the Ichibom trees, you'll see that the conservation team planted 6,000 plants, including 900 trees and shrubs, which is really fantastic in all kinds of areas, and working with different friends groups from the Williamstown Wetlands, Friends of Williamstown's Williamstown wetlands, at Sandy Point Nature Reserve, the Rifle Range, Cherry Lake, the Spit in Newport, and I think, you know, just shows how much work is being put into revegetation. There was plenty of other things happening. I wish I could have got to more of the activities that were going on around the community, but I commend, as we always do, commend the community to read the report and just see what fantastic things are being funded and supported and put into place. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Lego. Councillor Grimmer.
Thank you, ma'am. I guess what I'm going to be highlighting is progression and movement, and I was actually honoured to see that there's so many face-to-face programs for our youth, our children, for disability groups and our young seniors. To read that some senior youth counselling and youth programs have returned face-to-face, also with the opportunity on online, makes me satisfied, and to hear that young people connect during the hard times we've had, especially the last 2 years, is amazing. I've also heard from GPs and mothers and fathers and guardians how important this is to keep this on track with the issues that youth were having, particularly with mental health and disconnection. So fantastic that we're having major connection groups. Another example is that we're back on track is family engagement, learning team delivering. We've had a massive 68 programs and events that held 1,133 members of our community during June, which I was quite impressed. And best of all, 80% of those attending were for our little ones from 0 to 4 years old. And we offered connecting for our mums and dads and guardians and carers. I'm also happy to read in the report that 38 planned activity group sessions were held for our seniors and disabilities groups that held 3 social events that were arranged for last month. Connecting is so important for everyone, and to hear this is actually come to light, I'm so proud to be in council. And as my council colleague said, Councillor Sutton-Lego, this is an opportunity to read what we actually do, and if also to see what services we actually offer for those who may not even know that this actually exists. So this is an opportunity for all that to occur. So please read it. Or if you need assistance in doing so, Council are more than happy to assist, as we've already got the ball rolling. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Councillor Grimmer. Are there any other speakers? Councillor Tyler.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of items to add to my colleagues' contributions. The first, really good to see 92 Council Plus transactions across the Altona Meadows, Altona North and Williamstown libraries. Hopefully this is making life a little bit easier by enabling folks to access more council services in more places. And then second, given that the subtitle VCAT doesn't really scream please read on, I thought I'd call out an item that I think it's important to bring to the community's attention, that VCAT upheld Council's decision to refuse the development application for 37 through 45 Ajax Road. For folks unfamiliar with this site's located just inland from the Laverton Creek and Truganina Swamp. The site's home to rare native grasslands with substantial ecological and biodiversity significance. And the application included a proposal to clear over 15 hectares of native vegetation in spite of there being no meaningful specific industrial use identified or development proposal received. The application received almost 100 objections, and so I'd like to thank those who made their submissions and appeared before the Delegated Planning Committee. I know officers are in the process of completing the significant work involved in considering the merits of additional environmental significance overlays in Hobsons Bay, and I look forward to seeing this work progress and being further considered by council. In closing, Mr Mayor, we've got to do all we can to protect our grasslands. Perhaps they receive less attention than our coasts or our wetlands, but they're no less important from the perspective of biodiversity.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Are there any other speakers? There being none, Councillor Sutton-Gow, do you wish to close debate?
Happy to go to the vote.
I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, it is carried unanimously. We now move on to into the corporate services area and item 8.2.1, the proposed sale of 122 Wood Street, Newport, post consultation. Are there any questions in relation to this? Councillor Sutton-Gow.
I have one question through you, Mr Mayor. It relates to the Williamstown Historical Society, who I believe have been using the building under question primarily for storage, and as they had their home, I understand, in the Mechanics Institute, and that is not suitable anymore because it needs major restoration. Could I understand what will happen to the collection of the Historical Society, and also what is their future in terms of what the council may provide in terms of a building or a location?
Ms. Eichens.
For you, Mr Mayor. I understand at the moment that Miss Dawes of Miss Winslade's area is working with the Historical Society, and they're looking for alternative places for them to do the storage and for a longer term home. So they're working together. Nothing will happen for the next 3 months, we know that, so we've got time to plan and organise something, and they're being consulted with.
Could I just ask a follow-up question, if that's all right, through you, Mr Mayor. How long has the Historical Society collection been in storage?
Through you, Mayor, I think it's since 2019.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Callender?
Yep, I have a question. So through you, Mr Mayor, I've discussed this with Mr Manavasagasavam earlier on today. Council's obviously doing some advocacy online and asking the community to show their support for the aquatic facility. How many people have shown their support to date?
In relation to, I don't clear.
So this clear is in this. Relation to obviously Wood Street. So Wood Street, the resolution itself talks to the fact that the sales proceeds will be allocated in part to advocacy for the aquatic facility, the wetlands centre, and part of that will then also sit in an additional reserve for planning and development.
I'll allow the question.
So, you may. So far, 256 residents has registered for the support, and also, as you may know, we will start the community consultation on the concept design from August onwards. So that will create more interest as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Callender. Any other questions? There being none, I seek a mover for the motion related to Wood Street. Move Councillor Marsden. Seconded Councillor Sutton-Gow. Okay. I'll accept. Sorry, I didn't see Councillor Grimmer. Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. I intend to read through the motion as printed as the recommendation in the agenda and speak to each of the points in turn. Point one is that we support the sale of 122 Wood Street, Newport, which is following resolutions made way back in 14 December 2010 and on the 12th of April 2022. Back in 2010, there was a resolution, obviously well before my time, but I think during yours, Mr. Mayor, and perhaps Councillor Brifford, there was a resolution resolved to record its intention for the council to sell the property following the relocation of the Hobsons Bay Kindergarten and Toy Library to the Newport Gardens Early Years Centre, and that was in 2014. But the sale at the time was unable to proceed because of a covenant, and council has since removed the covenant through a planning scheme amendment because adequate public open space is located a short walking distance from the site at Lough Reserve and Jack Madigan. Point two of the motion moves that we vary the resolution made at that time to the extent that the proceeds from the sale of the property will be distributed 50% to the Western Aquatics Facility Construction Reserve, 25% to the Wetland Centre Construction Reserve, and 25% to the Hobsons Bay Property Development Fund Reserve. And while, Mr. Mayor, I would ordinarily not necessarily support the hypothecation of funds to a specific project derived from general income, I think in this case it's apt and wise, because these three projects, or at least the first two, are part of our election advocacy strategy. They're of urgent and paramount need. They're an intergenerational projects, and this sale of a superfluous property means that we can start to imagine these facilities taking shape by making a concrete contribution to the construction reserves. And then finally, on point 2C, the Hobsons Bay Property Development Fund Reserve. This is a fund in order to grow our holdings and convert what property we do have or may purchase in the future in order to derive an income for council and thereby reduce our reliance on rates. Point three goes to note that the public exhibition of the sale was conducted from 30 April this year to 29 May in accordance with the provisions of 223 of the Local Government Act 1989, and no requests for submissions to be heard by council were received. So this is an important hurdle to clear, obviously, in order to proceed with the sale. Point four is an authorisation directing the acting CEO to commence the process for the sale in accordance with section 1442A and C of the Local Government Act 2020 by publishing a public notice and by obtaining from a person who holds the qualifications a valuation of the land, which is made not more than 6 months prior to the sale. Following on from the question posed by my colleague, Councillor Sutton Legault, I'm very keen, of course, that the Williamstown Historical Society, who have used this place as a base temporarily, be adequately housed. And I know that our officers, and from the answers provided by Ms. Eikens, are looking for such a location to store and base the Historical Society in the short term. And I fully support that. The public feedback received is laid out in the article. I won't belabour it. It's generally asking for the funds to be spent locally. But I feel as a Strand Ward councillor and as a councillor of the City of Hobsons Bay that any proceeds derived from any sale be directed towards the strategic priorities of the city, because it's for the citizens of Hobsons Bay as a whole that we act and in whose interests we must decide. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Marsden. Councillor Sutton, I go.
Thank you. Yes, it's been out for public consultation for 6 weeks, and we did get a range of submissions. I think we had 25 submissions. And the feedback varied from not being very supportive of the sale, wishing to retain the land for open space, through to supporting the sale to reduce council debt and directing the funds to the projects that were identified. I think it is important that we can show that we can provide some funding towards these priority projects. Otherwise, it's harder to get state and federal government support. And these are projects that the Aquatics Facility and the Wetland Centre, I think, has the support of all council, and that's a good thing, you know, and this shows that the further support that we're providing to it, and I would love to see both of them well on their way over the next year or so. We don't, in my, I mean, I've only been on the council a short time, and I haven't seen any other land come up for sale, so it's not something we seem to do very often. And it, of course, it, any kind of development always creates a little bit of worry for people who live close by. But I think the site is being underutilised. It hasn't been used as a kindergarten for many years, and it was originally supposed to be sold many, many years ago, but because of a covenant, it couldn't be. So I support it. I think that if we can get these two major projects off the ground, or out of the ground, it will be a fantastic contribution to the West and to the city in general, and this will contribute to that, and I hope that it sells very well. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Sutton-Ago. Any speakers against the motion? Any other speakers? Councillor Briffa?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and please be patient with my voice. Everyone else as well. I will actually be voting against the sale of 122 Wood Street, Newport. And I do so because I really don't think that the market is such that we should be selling land at the moment. The market is down. Interest rates have gone up substantially just in recent months. And, you know, if this sale was you know, 6 months, a year ago, it might be different. But now the market is down and will continue to go down. That's what the Reserve Bank, I guess, wants. Yeah, given that we don't need the funds from this sale urgently, and the construction of the Western Aquatics Facility and Wetlands Centre are not imminent or in the foreseeable future, and we're still waiting to get that funding support from the federal and state governments, I think we can actually hold off on this sale until the market is in better shape. I do recall the council selling other sites that... Well, I certainly have come to think that were mistakes, and I mean, I opposed them at the time as well. If we look at, you know, sales of land in Williamstown, if we look at the sale of the land in Altona Meadows, even the big property across the road from Central Square Shopping Centre that we sold for $1.7 million back in probably 2009, 2010, something like that, we could have... You know, if we held on to that land, we would have got a lot more for it. Anyway, so I just think that we should hold off on this sale, given that we don't need the money straight away or urgently anyway, and that we need to think a bit more commercially and delay the sale until it's a bit more profitable. Anyway, that's my view. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. Any other speakers?
May I? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
She's already spoken, so Councillor Callender.
I think Councillor Sutton-Ago was jumping, ready to say let's put it to the vote. I just want to say quickly that from my perspective, I think that sale will put some money into the kitty, and having some money in the kitty will form part of the advocacy to the state and federal government for the two new asset builds. And just to highlight what those builds are, one being a $40 million ask for an aquatic facility and the other being a $10 million ask for a wetland centre. And from my perspective, I believe that council needs to do everything it can to strengthen that their advocacy. I believe that if we actually door-knocked homes and asked residents directly, as opposed to putting something up on social media and relying on people's ability to respond on social media, that we'd end up having a lot more support than what was disclosed here today. The money will remain in a kitty and it will earn interest, and with interest rates rising, we'll also see some benefits from having that cash sitting in that kitty. As a result, I'm comfortable with being guided by the decision of the Strand Ward councillors in their proposal to sell, and I find that their act quite generous if they do support the sale. The two new asset builds that council is advocating for, while they are both located in the wetlands ward physically, they will hold municipal-wide relevance and benefit. It's an election year, and I think that now is the time to be asking for money, so no time like the present. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Callender. Any other speakers? Councillor Tyler?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just briefly, I think my colleagues have covered things well. I I'm supportive of the sale of 122 Wood Street. I think with a decision like this, as Councillor Sutton Lego touched on, this isn't a decision that I think that this councillor group takes lightly. I am pleased to see that there's a focus on putting the proceeds to priority projects, as Councillor Callender touched on, of regional significance. And also wanted to note that there's sort of, I guess, in any decision like this, there's many interests, many considerations, and I guess it's our job to act in the whole of the community's interests, and I think the right decision in that regard, from my perspective at least, is to proceed with the sale. And as Councillor Callender touched on, there is both the upside of having that money in the kitty to signal intent, to signal that we are taking our contribution to these projects seriously, and I think that's in a range of ways beyond this sale. And there's also, of course, the reality that interest rates will be going up, and so that bodes well in terms of having that money in the kitty. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Tyler. Deputy Mayor, Councillor Grimmer.
Thank you, Mayor Hempel. I'm also happy. I do take it seriously. I don't care what ward it is, because I'm a council. I'm for everyone. That's what my promise was when I got elected. So this is a long time coming, actually back in my father's time. So I know a little bit about it. I've gone to the site. I'm aware there's open space. I'm happy that consultation was put forward. I'm happy that we all spoke lengthily about this. This is no surprise, in my opinion. We went through lengthy details for months and months. I'm very cautious about selling land, but I think the facilities are there, need open space. As I said, it's been probably close to 10 years this was supposed to happen. And end of the day, I guess I like to have an aquatic, a fair one, because at the moment wetlands does not have a fair aquatic. Nothing's been updated for a long time. I think back in roughly about 2010 to 12 that there was actually just consultation to see if it's fit for purpose, and the consultation said no. So we need to start having putting some funds, and that includes the wetland, which I'll say again, what a good opportunity for environmental education, all age and mental health. So I'm satisfied, and I want to commend everyone and the officers and my colleagues, councillor colleagues, for getting this out to consultation and all the work that was involved, because it was a long, lengthy process. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Councillor Grimmer. Councillor Marsden, do you wish to close debate?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And thank you to my colleagues for their contribution to the debate as well. It's allowed me to think about the consequences of this decision. As many have pointed out, this is not something that we do often or take lightly. And to talk to my colleague, Councillor Sutton Lego's concern about the feelings of local residents, which Councillor Callender also touched on. Obviously, whatever happens here has to be a sensitive use of the land, and to that end, we'll be designing the sale to reflect that. I understand Councillor Briffa's misgivings about the declining market and the risk that poses. I think we should think carefully about the risks and benefits of the sale. The money in hand does, however, and my colleagues have spoken to this, signal good faith intention to our counterparts in the state and federal government in order to signal that these are significant intergenerational projects of regional interest, which we believe in and therefore must fund. So I thank my colleagues and commend the motion. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. I'll now put that to the vote. All those in favour? Against? It is carried. We now move on to item 8.3, Sustainable Communities. 8.3.1, the Anomalies Amendment C134. Are there any questions in relation to this? There being none, I seek a mover. Move, Councillor Marsden, seeking a seconder. Councillor Tyler. Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a piece of housekeeping we do regularly in order to tidy up all of the errors and anomalies that exist in any complex document. Invariably, there's jots and tittles that need to be marshalled and corrected, and the recommendation, now the motion comes in four parts, and that is to consider the anomalies proposed to be corrected, which are listed in the document, and request that the Minister for Planning grant authorisation under Section 8A of the Planning Environment Act 1987 to prepare an exhibit, Amendment C134 to the Hobsons Bay Planning Scheme. Point three is to reaffirm or note the delegation of the Chief Executive Officer to make any necessary minor changes in seeking authorisation to prepare and exhibit the amendment. And then four, notes the delegation for the CEO to consider any submissions received about the amendment and refer any of those submissions that cannot be resolved to an independent panel appointed by the Minister for Planning in accordance with the relevant sections of the Act 1987. And if you look at the document attached, there's a space there which is blank, allowing for that independent panel, should it be needed, to be impaneled to consider any submissions that arise from what is otherwise a routine housekeeping task. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Marsden. Councillor Tyler.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Echo Councillor Marsden's comments. Just to add, there are 22 anomalies identified. And for folks who are interested in perusing the specifics, they're available in the meeting papers. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Tyler. Are there any speakers against the motion? Are there any other speakers? There being none, Councillor Marsden, do you wish to close debate?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As a GIS nerd, it's deeply satisfying to clean up all these little bits and pieces. Thank you.
I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. We now move on to item 9, delegates' reports. And are there any questions in relation to this? There being none, I seek a mover. Move, Councillor Sutton Lego. Sorry, Councillor Briffa is seconding. Councillor Sutton Lego.
Thank you, Mayor. So the Western Melbourne Tourism Board, we meet regularly. Some of the key items discussed at the last meeting related to presentations from the Victorian Government representatives on Victoria's visitor economy and the Visitor Economy Master Plan. We recognise the significant funding secured by the Footscray Community Arts Centre for upgrades, and noted that this is a facility that's an important part of the arts and cultural hub of the West, alongside the substation, which also gets support from Hobsons Bay, and is a major contribution to the arts in Hobsons Bay. There was considerable discussion about COVID-19 tourism impacts, and it's sad to see in the news today that COVID is back up there in the headlines, and talk of further mask introductions and various other things. So we know that this hasn't gone away, and it continues to be a major impact on all kinds of businesses. You only have to walk through the city to see the impact of COVID on businesses there. It'll be something that we'll all continue to watch, and I appreciate all the contributions from those who serve on the Tourism Board. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Lego. Councillor Briffa?
Nothing further to add, Mr. Mayor.
Are there any other speakers? There being none, Councillor Sutton-Lego, put that
go
to the vote.
Vote.
Putting that to the vote. All those in favour, it is carried unanimously. Item 10 is notices of motion, and we have not received any. Item 11 is urgent business. Is there any urgent business? There being none, there are no people in the gallery, so there are no public question times, supplementary public question times, therefore. So I will formally close the meeting at 7:55 p.m. Thank you.